Blog Talk Radio.
Trying to tone it down. 7 o'clock, Tuesday night, October 16th, and this is this week's edition of Whiskey Vent Barbecue in the Pit. Took last week off, had to, forced to, sorry guys. The real job imposed a little bit there, but let's talk a little bit about the episode before that week, and that was when we had Rob Bagby and Jimmy Brode in. I'll tell you what, if you look at the numbers of that show, they were super strong. It seems like you guys had a great time. Must have spread the word because the downloads post show, not only live listeners were strong, probably tied for first as far as live listeners, and archive listens probably in the top three. So not only did you guys enjoy the show, you also spread the word to your friends, and that's greatly appreciated. And I want to thank you guys for doing that. So let's talk a little bit tonight. Tonight we're going to recap some of the bigger contests that have happened here over the last couple of weeks. Obviously, we missed the American Royal because I didn't have a show last Tuesday night because of work. And we had the Sam's Club National this weekend. Before we get to that, I want to talk a little bit about a contest we cooked in this weekend right here down in Mulberry, Florida, in Pergo Polk County. FBA event, Mulberry Fine Swine at the Pit. Mulberry's been going around, got to be 7-8 years now. It's one of the first contests we cut our teeth in. Has a pro in the backyard division. And we had a great time. Best weather, we've been cooking that contest since 2007. And best weather ever out there. Just kind of Chamber of Commerce weather. It was really nice. Great job always, Bonnie Titus, the event organizer, always does a real nice job. And it was just good to get back out. We hadn't cooked a FBA contest since April of this year. We got a lot of friends. I mean, that's where we grew up and where all our friends are. And so to get back out there and be telling lies with JW from Unknown early in the morning on Saturday and doing those things, it was really good. It was nice to be back. So with that being said, we're going to go through top 10 overall and top 10 in categories. Real quick, we'll go through top 5 in categories. I don't want to bore you guys. Chicken, United Pork Smokers, which you'll hear their name numerous times in this little recap, wins chicken and beats everybody by about 3 points. Big Papa's Country Kitchen, second. Butts and Bones, third. Whiskey Bent Barbecue, fourth. And Get a Grip Barbecue, fifth. As far as ribs, Big shout out to Ricky Newman and the team. They take first place ribs in a tough pro contest with a 193.8 out of 200. Ricky and those guys just got done working on their trailer. Got a little sneak peek at it as they brought it out there. Not completely finished, but looking good. And those guys win ribs, and a great job there. Second place, another good buddy of ours, Sean over at Boca Barbecue. Sean cooks by himself, cooks on a Lang 60. Pretty much fits everything that he cooks with in a, I believe it's a Nissan Pathfinder or Durango or that comparable size. So he hooks up that Lang 60 to the back, packs everything he can in the back of that Durango or Pathfinder and comes on out. And he does it all by himself and does a damn good job. And so second place ribs out there, Boca Barbecue. Third place, Unknown Barbecue. That ain't no strangers to y'all. JW and Lee, they can cook some pork and ribs for sure. Papa Clark on the chicken and Dorsey on the brisket. Talk about Dorsey here in a second. Fourth place, Tiki Time Barbecue. Fifth place, Tommy Harden Blitz Creek Barbecue. So pork, our good buddy David Kimbrough over at All Racked Up takes first in pork. Unknown Barbecue second. Fat Ash is third. Sweet Smoke Q, Jim Elster, he's got a real nice sauce and an injection that'll be coming to market soon. You guys keep an eye out for that because Jim is definitely a pork cook, and we'll be talking more about that in episodes to come. And fifth place, Palm Beach Porkers. Brisket, Lazy, Hazy, Crazy Boys, and a pretty strong field of brisket cooks takes first place there. All Racked Up takes second. Big Papa's Country Kitchen takes third. Whiskey Bent Barbecue takes fourth, and Fat Ashes takes fifth. Real good to see David and Charlie back out again. Been a long time. They had a good pork call, had a good brisket call, but just good to see those guys back out cooking. A lot of family obligations that kind of lead them the way from not being able to do it as much as they want to, but it was really good to have them back out there. So top five overall, Jim Elser, Sweet Smoke Q, Blitz Creek 4, Tommy Harden, third place Unknown, and those crazy old boys. Reserve Grand Champion, David Kimbrough and Stephanie, and the little box of brisket there, All Racked Up Barbecue. First place, United Pork Smokers. They win the contest by about 4.5 points, 158-2. Tough scoring contest to win with a 758 in an FBA contest. So we had some judges that maybe were a little more hard-ass than we thought. And if you're wondering, Whiskey Bent Barbecue, yeah, we finished 17th. Ribs, we went 27th out of 37 teams and actually won our table at 27th in ribs. And went 27th in pork. So if you can say one thing about us, we were consistent. 2/4 and 2/27. But we had a hell of a time. So it's good to be back out there with our FBA pals. Let's go over to the Sam's Club. I want to talk about that for a minute. A couple things while we're pulling that up. Something to think about, guys. Got a lot of contests down here over the next couple of months. If you haven't signed up for it yet, you probably need to get in the hunt. So I know for us, competition-wise, we're looking at the next one we're going to cook is Plant City KCBS contest. Go ahead and drop the news on y'all tonight. It looks like we are working with our good friend Danielle Damoski on making sure we got some equipment covered for her. And it looks like Diva Q will be in the house at Plant City this year. So it's going to be fun to have Diva out there. If you've never met Danielle, you got to come out to Plant City. You've seen her on TV. You've seen her do what she does. But you come out, she'll sip a little whiskey with you. And she's always a blast at a contest. So it'll be good to see Diva get down here into the good old FLA and cook Plant City with us. So if you haven't got your entry fees in yet, get them in for Plant City. I believe there's still a discount if you get them in by the end of next week. If not, that entry fee is going to move up on you a little bit. Also, for you local guys, there's a cookout at Sun and Fun, first year event. It's going to be chicken and ribs. At over at Southern Fun. It's the same weekend as Sebring for the FBA cooks. It's November 30th and December 1st. We'll be out there cooking that one. And then already applications are out. If you haven't got yours yet, go ahead and do it. And that will be for Lakeland Pig Festival, as always. Last weekend of January. Hope to see a lot of our friends from the North and Midwest and Northeast kind of deal come down here and cook that contest with us. It's always a blast. We always have a good time. And it's always good to see some of the other teams that we don't see except for when we travel down here in our home turf. So if you haven't got those entry fees in yet, if you're not a repeat contestant at Pig Fest, I don't believe that application will go out to the public until January 1st. Or not January 1st, November 1st. So keep an eye out. But if you're somebody that's repeated and been there before, go ahead and go in and sign up. Get your entry fees paid up. So let's go back here and talk about the Sam's Club Regional for just a second. And then we'll probably be coming back to this one later because what a murderer's row of cooks. One, and did Iowa show out or not? So real quick, for you guys to understand, we'll go through the top five real quick. Lucky's Q, Grills Gone Wild, Iowa. That was a little less than a three-point differential, and it was a 7-0-4 for Lucky's Q to win it. And that's the top quality score in KCBS. QL comes in third, 7-0-1. Now they were about half a point off of reserve. Iowa Smoky D's, and then Big T's Q Crew comes in fifth. So for all you guys that are keeping count, that is four of the five teams that finished at the top in the Sam's Club National were all out of Iowa. So don't ever, you know, Kansas City loves to take claim that they're the barbecue capital of the world, but in the, on the biggest stage, which for us competition barbecue-wise is the Sam's Club. I mean, there was $150,000 up for grabs this weekend. And when you take four out of the top five spots, if you don't recognize Iowa barbecue as something to deal with, then you're probably a little bit short-sighted. So hope to have some of those guys come on in the coming weeks and just talk about how things are different out there than here. And you'll hear a discussion we're going to have with Mark and Matt from Velvet Smoke here in a little bit as our guest on the show tonight about some of the differences that we saw when we went out to the Midwest as a Florida team, and I'll be interested to see their feedback. So one of the things I jumped feet first into the show and did not do a good job of was telling you about the guest. And we're going to lead off with Velvet Smoke Barbecue. These guys have were coming off a reserve or a grand championship in Zeno, Ohio. Took that and rolled that right into the American Royal. Went out there and cooked. Had a 25th place brisket in the Invitational. And very respectable overall ratings in both the Invitational and the Open. So we're going to talk to Mark Matt, learn a lot about Velvet Smoke Barbecue, how those guys got started, what they're cooking on, what they're doing. And then we're going to go over to Mark. I always have a hard time saying Mark Rasmussen from TheBarbecueSuperstore.com. Himself and Richard Parker from IBQ and have taken over Great Lakes Barbecue and have changed the name, done some rebranding, some of those things. So we're going to have Mark on to tell us about how everything went down, what those guys are rebranded as now. They're still going to be great sponsors of the show, which is awesome, and so what some of the plans are for the future of the website. We're also going to talk to Mark because, you know, once we get done talking about business, which is the website, we're going to talk to him about his barbecue techniques and what he does. He's a hot and fast cook. And he finished second in Team of the Year for Great Lakes Barbecue Association this year. So we're going to talk a little bit of business and give you guys what's going on over at TheBarbecueSuperstore.com and then also talk a little bit of cooking with Mark. So should be a great show tonight. Couple things. One other thing I want to bring out to you, besides how delicious Jim Elser's pork injection and sauce was, is when we were out at Mulberry this weekend, we were walking around probably, I don't know, 12, you know, midnight, 1 o'clock, and walked around and saw this cooker I hadn't seen before. Insulated cooker. Looked at it. It didn't have a guru on it, but it looked like it was being temp controlled because you could see a couple different readouts on it, and it was locked in right there at 250. And I made a note to myself. I was like, man, this is a pretty nice cooker. I'm going to come back on Saturday and find out whose this is, because it's not a Stumps. It's not a Backwoods. It's, you know, not anything else. It was just a nice insulated cooker. I had a big chimney chute on it. And so come Saturday, I have to turn in, started walking around, and find out it is a not only a good buddy of mine, but actually a distant relative, third or fourth cousin, Adam Norman. And he's Adam always cooked, him and Ben Williams, a good buddy of ours, always cook Pigfest every year, Lakeland. They do it, and they've done it. And I think maybe 2 years ago I made the comment to Adam, man, your family is in the metalworking business, and you're still cooking on a half-ass offset. I can't believe you haven't designed or done anything. I don't know if he took that to heart or just figured he wanted to sleep a whole lot more at the couple of contests they were going to cook. And walking around on Saturday, I see that smoker. I look over there, and boom, it's Adam. And getting talking to him about it a little bit, and he has built and started a line of smokers called Southern Bread Smokers. There's going to be two sizes, a smaller size and a larger size. And Adam was on the larger size this weekend, took first place pork in the backyard, and just a well-built cooker. If you're looking for an insulated cooker, it's going to be something you want to put on your radar. Already comes built in with all the electronics. There's no going and spending, you know, $300 to $500 on a Guru with all the accessories. It's already there. Capability to hold up the 4 meat probes. It's a really, really cool cooker. We're going to have more details coming to you about that over the coming weeks. But Southern Bread Smokers, it was really cool. And Adam was working off the prototype. It did well for him. We're going to look at the prototype smaller one next week. And you're going to hear a lot more about that on the show. But if you want to right now, go over to southernbreadsmokers.com. Take a look at them. For any of you guys that were in Mulberry this weekend, you'll know what we're talking about. Really, really good-looking cookers, and they do a great job. So you can check those out here in the weeks to come. Going back to the Sam's Club Regional for just a second, I want to hit on the category winners, because that was kind of a big deal. Chicken with a perfect 180, True Bud Barbecue. True Bud's been on fire this year. They've been lighting it up wherever they go, and they take a perfect 180 in chicken. And you think about it, guys. I mean, they're overwhelming some pretty educated palates, if you will. You know, just like a Ronnie Cates event, just like the Royal, judges queue up in the masses to go cook or to go judge a Sam's Club event. So it's not like this was, you know, 50 judges that got walked in off the street. These, I would say, I'd love to know if Troy Black would ever tell us how many master judges were there. They may have all been master judges. I don't know, but to take down a 180 in that type of a judging field is something to be proud about. So a 180 to True Blood and Chicken. And then we're going to turn right back around and have a tie. We had two 180s in ribs. Big T's Q Crew and Grills Gone Wild Iowa. Once again, two Iowa teams, and they take perfect in ribs. And that once again, that's just amazing in that field of judges. Pork, your champion was Sizzlin' Bones with a 179.4. And then in brisket, there's no place like Smoke, 179.4 again there. And that's just tight scores, guys. In a field like that where, you know the judging's not a That's not amateur judging. That's true judging and guys that know what good barbecue tastes like. So, anyway, with that being said, I'm going to go over here 614. I'm thinking this may be Matt. Who we got here?
Yeah, hey, Chad. Mark's on.
All right. So, does Matt have a Jacksonville number?
No, it should be 513 out of Cincinnati.
Yeah, I got a 904 here on hold. Don't have a 513 yet, so we'll wait and let him come on board whenever he would like. So, Mark, great to have you on the show tonight.
Hey, thank you, Chad. Glad to be here, and hello, everyone. Looking forward to chatting tonight.
Absolutely, man. Sounds great. So we're going to get actually 513 right here.
We go. There we are.
Here we are. We've got them all. And I will go ahead and apologize ahead of time, guys. With you guys having an M that leads your first name and an S that leads both your second names. So
very true.
Yeah, we're pretty interchangeable, Chad. Just if you get Matt or Mark, we'll answer to both of them.
Exactly. And I'll be perfectly honest with you. When I wrote up the recap for the show or the headline for the show, I actually put Matt twice, and I was like, no, there's a Mark in there. I was like, it's Mark's the one I've been arranging everything with, and Matt's the one I talked to initially. So we've got it all figured out tonight. So, Mark, we're going to go to you first. Introduce us to Velvet Smoke Barbecue. How did you guys get started? What's your backgrounds? Let's just go from there.
Yeah, great question, Chad. So Velvet Smoke, we're in our third competition season. Started in late 2009 down in Madison, Indiana, at a backyard cook-off. Took second in brisket out of about 40 teams, and we were hooked. And so at that time, we were cooking on WSMs. I had bought one at a hardware store, just playing around in the backyard, and Matt got the same one. And, you know, we started to say, you know, let's kind of see what this competition stuff is all about. And really, we didn't know much about KCBS, didn't know much about the circuit. But at the Madison event, they have a backyard on the Friday, and then the Saturday was the KCBS event, as they usually do. And we were there and just couldn't believe, you know, all the teams and what this whole thing was about. So after getting that second-place call, we were pretty much hooked and came out the next year for our first season. So I'm actually in IT. I work for Dell as a product marketer for the data center business, and I've been in IT, you know, marketing for about 16 years. Matt's actually an architect by education, so we're not from the restaurant world or from the cooking world, but kind of got into this, and, you know, like I said, kind of like winning your first horse race, that second-place brisket kind of put us on the map, and, you know, it's been 3 years of good fun.
Worst thing that could have happened to us.
It's probably the most expensive bowling trophy you've ever won in your life.
Absolutely.
That's what I always tell people. It's like, you know, and we were kind of raised the same way as you guys. I mean, we started out as, you know, kind of backyard. And I got a question for you. You said backyard was on Friday and KCBS was on Saturday. Did you cook all four categories on Friday?
You know, we did. Didn't we, Matt? I think we turned in all
four. Yeah, no,
I think we did all
that.
Four. It was a standard kind of format. The good thing about Madison, and you know, for any of the listeners that are in the southern Indiana kind of region, it's a good way to get started as a backyard cook because you do all the four meets, and a lot of the KCBS judges come in the night before,
yeah.
and the format is almost identical. So you really get a full spectrum. It's not like some of these contests that, you know, it's only ribs or maybe only pork shoulder.
Yeah, no, I agree. And if when you decide you're going to put your hat in the ring, you'd like to know that you've got an idea on all four. You don't want to go spend a bunch of money because you're a good rib cook and then get your rear end handed to you and brisket, you know. go ahead and make up 3 points in ribs and lose 40 points in brisket.
Exactly.
Yep.
You don't want to go that route. And so I believe that's really good. And we're very fortunate down here, especially in our part of Florida that we're in. The Florida Barbecue Association, all the Polk County events here in Central Florida all have a backyard division. And you'll see some guys that they'll say themselves, I'm a career backyarder. I'm only going to cook two contests a year. I'm not going to compete against you guys that cook 10 to 30 contests a year. I'm going to come out here my couple of times a year, have a good time. And if it means I'm a four-time, you know, four in a row backyard champion, then I guess that's what it is. And so there's some of that that's good. There's some of that that's bad. Because you don't ever want people to lose that taste. I won't say the team that I was next to this weekend, but it's a one-man team. And I saw him. He was fighting his ass off, working all weekend in the pro division. And, you know, results came out and we were all cleaning up and you know, he didn't fare where any of us want to fare. And as we're loading up towards the end, I walk over and he's just kind of sitting on his cooler with his hands in his head. And I said, you know what? I said, Man, I said, you know, it was great cooking next to you this weekend. I hope we weren't too loud. but you look a little frustrated to me. And he said, yeah, man, I mean, have you seen the results? It's kind of like, yeah, I mean, I have. But, you know, if you don't mind sharing with me what you're doing, you know, maybe I can tell you if there's some things you may want to try before the next time you lace it up and do it. And he's like, well, you know, I already planned on cooking the one next month. I was like, well, let's talk about it, man. Let's go through the categories. And we probably spent 15 minutes talking about what he was doing. And I didn't roll our program out for him, but I felt like I gave him enough information that hopefully a month from now he doesn't have that same feeling. And that's what I feel like the backyard should be. You know, guys should go out there, you know, cook a couple of cooks if they're really vested in it. Us guys that have a little more experience behind us should look at them if they need a little bit of help. You know, just give them a little help at hand. I know that's how it works down here. Is it kind of the same way up there for you guys?
It really is, Matt. You want to take that one?
I mean, I was just getting ready to bring up Todd, who's been a member of our team since the middle of last year, and you know he was already interested in barbecue, and he took that experience, you know, working with us on our team, and he folded that over into doing a couple backyard events earlier this year, and then that, you know, that all went right into his first professional competition of his own team. And he ended up getting an eighth overall and, I believe, a second place pork call and some other very high calls in other categories. And had it not been for a rather mediocre chicken, he would have had an extremely good finish for his very first professional competition. And you know, we've had a blast working with him, and I know it's likewise for him. And so, yeah, I've always said backyard is a great way to get introduced to it. And if you're, you know, we met some of the teams in Madison, you know, several years ago, and a lot of those same teams are still doing the backyard, and there's nothing wrong with that. And but if you do want to get your feet wet in the professional side, then that's a great way to get started doing it. And, you know, worst thing that could have happened to us was getting that second place brisket, because we've been full bore ever since, so.
Brother, it is something. and you know what? For us, it took us getting kicked in the teeth a little bit longer. Yeah, I mean, I don't think we got our first call till maybe our third or fourth backyard contest.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, dude, our first contest, we lost to a troop of Boy Scouts. I mean, we finished seventh out of ninth, and the Boy Scouts finished, like, your reserve grand. And it was like, dude, that was... And my buddy always likes to say, I think it was Cub Scouts, not Boy Scouts, you always embellish. but either way, I mean, it was one of those things you got out there. I mean, and for me, a guy that has played competition sports through, you know, growing up, through high school, through college, it was just that camaraderie. You know, I mean, you kind of miss that. And I've always told people, we only compete for the, in FEA for us, the 4 hours that we turn in meat, for KCBS, the 2 hours that we turn in meat. Anytime between those, we ain't competing against each other, man. Well, you know, we're a brotherhood. And,
yep.
and I think it's very hard to explain to somebody, like when you look at the Royal or Sam's Club that just happened, when there's that kind of money and prestige on the line, for them to go, yeah, right, you're not competing against anybody. I'm like, look, if I'm going to beat that guy that day, I want him to have everything he needs. If he ever got his turbinado sugar, how many cups you need? Here you go.
Yep.
I think it's the same way up here, Chad, like you were saying about Central Florida. I, you know, talking to the different teams, I mean, we spend a lot of time with Hogaholics and Steve Krebs and Get a Q, Buddy and Cheryl Schneider. The guys from Shigs and Pitt were really helpful to us early on. And you know, I think everybody shares those things, especially when the other's down. So if you're leaving a comp and, you know, you got that 25th position and, you know, there are only 30 teams, you know, that's the time that, you know, help the guy out a little bit. But, you know, once you start gathering toward the top five or six, you know, the guys from QL and Pellet Envy and those guys, I don't think they're probably trading quite as many ideas.
Right.
but I mean, once you're, you know, in your first few
unless
years.
You take the class.
Yeah.
Unless you take the class and pay the fee. But
blood money.
But yeah,
blood money.
It's the same thing, Chad. I think it's pretty universal across KCBS from what I've seen.
Well, you know, and the thing that I hate about this, I mean, this is kind of the first time we're talking, but I know we've cooked against you guys at least three or four times.
Yeah.
You know, and I just hate, and usually the reason I like to come up and cook different events is to go around and meet people. But, you know, sometimes you just run out of time. And usually Rob Marion was there, and Rob would pull me in, and next thing you know, me and Rob are a couple of drinks deep, and it's like, dude, just let me get back to the cook site and get focused. So I hate that I haven't met you guys in person and had a good discussion. And I kind of hate that, but I know I will be honest with you always when we would, the one thing I like that you guys are really good about up there in the KCBS contest is you're really good about posting team lists. As entries come in, you'll kind of see a team list start to form. And, when you'd sign up for one, you start looking at it and you go, and we would always say, well, those Velvet Smoke guys, they can cook. You got to keep them on the radar, kind of deal. And so, you know, we always had respect for you guys. It just stunk that we never got around and had any time to really, you know, meet and talk.
We're one of those teams that typically pulls in kind of late, you know, with jobs and kids and all that kind of stuff. We'll be heading to Nelsonville this weekend, and the plan is to get ourselves in a little bit earlier this time so we can get set up and get everything to where we want it to be. But I was going to mention earlier, one of our mantras at Velvet Smoke has always been, you know, first of all, the more the merrier. We've always been very open to people that are interested in barbecue just coming and joining us. And, you know, one of the big pluses for that is after the turn-ins are over, you know, we feed all the leftover competition barbecue to our guests. But the other thing is we've had several guys that have now formed teams or who have struggled early on, and we've invited them to join us. And we're more than happy to, you know, we're not going to tell you exact recipes, but we're more than happy to have you hang out with us and learn, see what we do firsthand and what we've learned. I mean, we've never taken any classes. We've never done any of that. We're from the School of Hard Knocks, and we've learned by talking to other people and paying attention and research and all that good stuff. And we're always more than welcome to have anybody come along and join us for a cook. So
you know, you guys talked about you started on WSMs. Is that where you guys are still at, or what are you cooking on now?
We're on a Superior SS1 now.
Really? The way up there, huh?
Yeah, all the way up here.
It was one big step.
it's been a fantastic cooker. I mean, we've won three GCs this year on it. And it's a version of a Stumps. I know there's several different Stumps versions out there now, but I've been very happy with it.
Yeah, and for you guys that don't know, Jovi's still running the show there at Superior, right? Jovi Stanlin?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, so Jovi and Stump, I mean, when Stump was in his infancy, they really worked closely together. And Jovi, when kind of Florida barbecue took off, that's why I was kind of surprised, because, you know, the whole Jovi thing comes out of the FBA. And when he said a Superior, I was like, oh, wow, that's familiar. So Jovi and Stump worked really closely together on some of the first designs. You know, obviously, as things grow, there's growing pains. Jovi decided to go off and start Superior. And I'll tell you what, I would echo what you guys have said. Anybody that's bought a Superior smoker hasn't been disappointed. And it seems like you can get them rather quick, and they're super well built.
Yeah, I first learned about them. I judged Lexington, North Carolina a couple years ago, and I was walking around, and I saw at least a half a dozen teams that had Superior smokers, and I was just curious about them and started talking with some of the guys about them, and they recommended them. And then talking with a good friend of ours here near Cincinnati, he recommended them as well, and so that's when I finally started looking really closely at them. So yeah, it's a great cooker.
Excellent. So are you cooking all? You're cooking all four on one of them?
Oh yeah.
Excellent. And so I take it when you buy a cooker like that, I'm gonna ask a rhetorical question. I mean, you're obviously low and slow cooks, or else you'd have bought a Myron, steam it while it's really hot kind of deal.
Actually, we're kind of medium. We cook in the
275, 300?
275, 285 is where I try to keep things. You know, we're trying to have everything off by 7, 8 in the morning at the latest. And I like to have, you know, ribs on by themselves, and then chicken go on a little, you know, a couple hours later, and keep, you know, you get better flow through those vertical smokers that way.
Absolutely. No, I understand. The one thing I hate, and we come off of a we cook mostly on pellet grills, Green Mountain grills, but we've got a Stumps. And we've been bringing it out a lot more recently for our bigger meats. And, you know, when I look at the comparison of when we were cooking all four categories on it, and when we're just cooking two of them on it, they just don't react well to if you have a 3 or 4 step chicken process. They don't react awesome to always opening and closing the door. It's one of those things that I like when I cook just brisket and just butts in the insulated cooker, because I know there's only going to be one step.
Yeah,
they're gonna reach a temperature. I'm gonna pull them out. I'm gonna put some magic things on them, foil them, and put them right back in. Probe them, and they're not gonna come back out until we're done. It's just when how chicken is. I mean, if a lot of guys that cook chicken well, you know, you're gonna touch it, mess with it, play around with it for 2 or 3 times during a 2 hour cook. Maybe we're just all overthinking things. I just noticed that if you can keep that to a minimum, that they behave a lot better on Saturday morning.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Well, we have a guru on it, and so I think, Matt, wouldn't you agree? I mean, the recovery is pretty nice. I mean, it's like
it recovers really fast.
2-3 minutes at the most.
Yeah, but when you're opening and closing, especially.
And now remind you that I'm dealing on one of the 3 ever built Stumps maize cookers on the market. So air affects me a lot more than it affects you guys on the gravity fed end. Because once you add an extra 2 or 3 minutes of air to that maize, there's no choking it down. We're off to the
race,
boys.
Right.
If you were at 245, we're going to climb up for a little bit. And that's not a bad thing. You've got to just plan around it and know your cooker, you know?
Definitely.
Very true. Yep.
Yeah, and the Xenia cook that we had about 3 weeks ago, in the middle of the night, the Superior just kind of ran away from us, and we got it up to like 340 degrees.
Really?
Couldn't calm it down for like over an hour, and I thought, you know, that's pretty much it for the brisket and the butts. And the next day on the stage, we got first place pork and third place brisket, and I thought, we weren't hot and fast cooks before, but maybe we'll be now.
We may just open up that barbecue cooler and say, give it a 325, buddy.
With all the vending I've been doing, I had a really late catering order come in a couple weeks ago, and I cranked that thing up, put a couple of briskets on there, and I had them done in 4 hours, cooking straight 325, and as fast as I've ever had briskets done. They weren't huge briskets, but I was absolutely amazed at how quickly I was able to cook those things. Because I've messed around with over the years, all sorts of different temperatures.
Sure.
And they came out fantastic. I was pleased as anything. So it gave me a confidence boost, because I knew if I had to cook something fast, I could do it. And, that was just great experience. So.
Absolutely. And so, and talking about that, I mean, how often, and it seems like, I mean, looking at you guys' website and just, you know, having very basic discussions over, you know, Facebook Messenger. You guys do a good amount of catering and vending on the side?
I basically, after last year, I was running my own design-build business for 10 years, and the economy was very hard on the construction industry, and I was kind of floundering a little bit last year trying to figure out what I wanted to do. Business wasn't going well, and I had this hobby called barbecue in my back pocket, and which I was just completely nutty about and passionate about. And I ended up early this spring, I decided to start Velvet Smoke Barbecue, the business, and started doing some vending at a historic market here in town, in downtown Cincinnati. And that's grown like wildfire. I'm doing a couple different markets now. We'll be moving inside for our wintering over, and just been getting great feedback. And so barbecue is full time for me now. So.
Yeah, and I just do a little bit of catering on the side. I live in Columbus, Ohio, and Matt's in Cincinnati, so we're about 2 hours apart. I help him a little bit on the side, and I'll do a little bit of catering, you know, up here 30 to 50 people, that kind of thing. But, you know, my day job keeps me pretty busy and on the road, so don't do too much of it. It's pretty hard with a couple WSMs to have much of a catering a career.
Mark, I know where you're coming from, brother. You're talking to another tech guy right here, always on the damn road. But, you know, hey, pays the bills. Not a bad living.
That's right.
And I will tell you, when you are in town, I've got a couple of big customers up in Columbus. I get up there about every 8 weeks. So,
oh, great. Yeah, look me up for sure.
I'll holler up there. Maybe we can get a good piece of meat, have a drink, and maybe tell one or two lies.
That would be great.
and now you, Matt, you lucked out. I used to be in Cincinnati all the time. I did a lot of work with Toyota down there in Georgetown, Kentucky.
Of course,
and, dude, nobody wants to stay in Georgetown. I'd stay in Cincinnati and just commute the 45 minutes each time. But, yeah, it's good. So now let me ask you this, Matt. I got a question for you because people always say when you turn a passion or a hobby into a means of income, it loses its luster. What have you experienced?
You know what keeps me going? The feedback. We literally have people.
Yes.
Finding good barbecue in Cincinnati and in this area is can be a challenge, to say the least. And coming at this from the competition side, we're putting a product out there that's just it's at least a step above, you know, typical restaurant grade, you know, Midwestern. This part of the country barbecue, and I mean, especially on our brisket, we're getting quite a following on our brisket. We literally have, and our brisket rub that we're doing for vending is could not be any simpler. It's just it's cooked properly, it's cooked well, and people's eyes literally roll back in their heads, and they're just like, "This is just fantastic," what keeps me going.
And the one thing where I think people screw up on brisket is, it's just a feel thing. You know,
exactly.
There's certain guys that just, I'm going to cook to a temperature. Well, you know what, Matt? You're a pit master. You understand that 200 for this brisket may not be enough. It's 210.
Yep.
It's just, it's been run a little harder and put up a little wetter. You know, you just got to baby that thing along, brother. And to me, it's that thing that's hard to categorize or put a value on. It's that. When a guy that's cooked hundreds of briskets can put that thermopen or put just even a toothpick through it and go, it's there or it's not there. And when you know it's there and you know it's got enough rest time and you serve it to folks and they go, gosh, it's the best I've ever ate. Well, it's because it wasn't some $19 an hour or 19-year-old clerk making $8 an hour going, oh, boss man said it was 200. Pull it off. Throw it in the warmer, you know?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
But I feel like that there's a guy down here that he usually listens to the show every week. I'm sure if he's not listening to it now, he'll listen to it on podcast. Mark Gabrick. He's had some tough times, went through a lot of things, but just got his own barbecue food truck. And he, you know, he's been going now for about 3 months, and his thing is, he's like, man, Chad, he's like, you just don't understand the intrinsic value you get from seeing another person in line. You've been to six places and he's there every time.
Yep.
You know, and I've got to say, I feel a little bit of the same as we don't vend much. We only vend one event a year. But what I do personally in my time a lot is I cook. I teach a cooking class probably every month or twice a month at different locations.
Oh, yeah.
And there's no better feeling than when you walk into that cooking class and you see, you know, one of the bigger venues that I teach, it holds 38 people. And we always sell out. Thank God for my 12 minutes on the Food Network. We always sell out. But when you look at that space and you see 20 of the same faces.
Really? That's great. You know, yeah.
They really enjoyed their experience. They took what I taught them. They took the recipes. They went back. They learned enough and enjoyed it enough to come on back. And that's just cool. And so I understand that feeling you're talking about. It's like that's the thing that just keeps you going. So I've got to ask, I mean, because you had a little bit of passion in your voice about it, is maybe there brick and mortars in sight?
Oh, yeah, that's definitely the goal.
Really?
It may be sooner than later. You know, already looking at some options there. Philly Market, this historic market I was telling you about, is a fantastic place. It's a wonderful incubator for any business. You know, lots of foot traffic throughout the year, and all sorts of different, you know, types of foods and vendors, and you know, everything from farmers coming in from the outskirts, you know, bringing in their, you know, their incredible produce, and, you know, taco stand, you know, us doing barbecue. There's a fantastic Euro place. It's a great incubator, and it's a great way to kind of build a following. And that's basically what we've been doing this year. That was the goal, is just to get our name out there. And we've got a great following around town, and that's hopefully sometime in the next, hopefully within the next year, we'll be brick and mortar, if not sooner. So
that's super cool, man. And when I do travel to that area, I'll have to check it out. I mean, that's, you know, anytime that you've got, you know, Corey Brinson, I don't know if you, do you guys follow Pitmaster at all?
Yeah,
sure, yeah.
So Corey from Fatbacks.
Yep.
You know, me and him kind of struck up, you wouldn't believe it, but we're just two old Southern boys. And so had him on the show once, and after having him on the show, we just kind of struck up a friendship. And I loved his story, man. I mean, it's a lot like yours, Matt, that, you know, hey, you know, the day job thing kind of, you know, lost its luster or had some issues come up, and I fell back on what I loved. And so, man, we were driving back home, me and the wife, who probably about last year we did about a month in Boston, hopefully a lot more this next summer, because God dang, it's nicer than Florida. but driving back down, I said, hey, Corey, man, let me come by. Let me check out. I know it's not open yet, but let me check out the restaurant. And, man, the 2 hours I spent with him, And the look in his eye, I just wanted to look at my wife and go, you know what? I'm just going to quit what I do and just go open up a restaurant. he just, the look in his eyes, he was just so content, you know? I mean, and he's got all this catering stuff, and he pulls his trailer out and sells food, you know, before the restaurant this and that. But man, when you look at him and talk to him, it's a man that's doing his passion. And it hasn't really turned into a job. Yeah, there's hours, there's things to go about, but it's not a grind. It's not this, golly, I gotta get on another conference call. And I have that thing, and that's just what's cool about it. And man, I support the heck out of you, brother, and I'd love to see you get that brick and mortars and just take off, because
I appreciate that.
What the judges think and what the public think is, you guys can cook good barbecue. And I'm sure in Cincinnati, you've got a little bit of a wedge there. I mean, you're probably dealing with a lot of chains and not too many mom and pops, are you?
There's a fair amount of mom and pops that all have a really good following in their particular area. As I've always said, in this part of town, there's plenty of room for good barbecue in Cincinnati, and that applies to Ohio in general. Ohio's been a little bit behind the curve on getting KCBS competitions. One thing that I was going to touch on earlier was I have never worked so hard in my life, and I've lost, you know, 28 pounds doing it, and I'm just having a blast.
Well, you know, Matt, we're gonna have to remedy that, because Chad isn't it right. I mean, all the good pitmasters have a nice belly and overalls, and kind of a cigar. Now you just don't look the part.
You know, have you guys not seen a picture of me? I mean, I'm about as supposedly plump as they come, boys.
I'll tell you what. I thought I was going to gain weight doing this job, you know, because being around great food at the market and vendor swaps, that's one of the funnest things to do is the different vendors, you know, trying different things. And, oh, sure, I'll take a pizza for a brisket sandwich and things like that. I thought I was going to gain weight. Oh, I've never – humping all this barbecue has just been – it's been good for the bottom line on ends. So.
It wears you out. And then on top of it, you've smelt it all damn night and day. So the last thing you want to do is eat a piece of it. You know, I mean,
we definitely don't eat a whole lot of barbecue anymore, because you know, granted, most of it's getting sold to to our customers. But the other funny thing is, I have people that'll come through the market and I say, we smelled the barbecue, and I've noticed that I don't smell it anymore. I don't smell the smoke. I smell it when I get home, and I smell it on my clothes, but I don't smell the aroma that people are coming and finding. that's
well,
what
you know.
Is
I've
really
always
wild
told
to me.
Two people when you become a pit master, the two things that go, the feeling in your fingertips,
exactly,
and your smell for smoke. And,
yep.
and
yeah.
Matt, it's just like you said. When you get home, you're like, oh my God. You know, when you're in a kind of a sterile environment, you're like, dude, have I just been hovering over the smokestack for 3 days?
Yep.
But when you're out there, you're like, what are you talking about, smoke? I don't know what you're talking about. It's just me being me.
Well, I'd still like to see a little brand extension with like a Velvet Smoke cologne, you know, kind of bottle that scent.
Dude,
I think the pork barrel guys tried that.
You know what? I talked to Heath about that this year out in Las Vegas. And because my buddy Greg Grimpy that has another show on after me.
Yeah. Oh, we know Greg real well.
Yeah. He's a great dude. And y'all are close to Greg.
Yep.
And
he stopped in for a visit in Canton, Ohio.
Yeah, we were
for the Stansville event there.
Yeah. Dude, Greg's a great dude. My one of my Coke team members and a dear buddy of mine, Matt Van, actually runs the on campus restaurant at Case Western in Cleveland.
I got to know Matt real well at Pittsburgh last year.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I haven't had a chance to stop in at his place yet. But
dude, one thing about Matt Van, greatest guy you've ever met, funniest dude you ever met, poorest planner you've ever met. He was probably coming by asking for sugar, power cords, maybe even a spare cooker. I mean, love Matt to death, but he will go to a con. That's why I got to fly up to cook with him. Somebody's got to kind of rein in the horses here, boys. And say,
all I remember
hey.
is the truck, the van that he had, the panel,
oh, yeah.
the panel truck.
The
battery died, and we had to give him a little help getting the battery started. So
hey, y'all, yeah. Well, not only that, but me and him sat down on a 4-hour voyage from Cleveland to Nelsonville last year. I'll tell you, this is exactly the story. Going to Nelsonville, and if you leave an exit early, you end up on a very secure military base. So it never looks good if you're getting off in a box truck at a military base.
Yeah, this is true.
So Matt hands him his 3-year-old Florida expired driver's license. And they say, well, hey, take a loop around and we'll give you your license when you get back. So, and I mean, the loop is 100, not even, I mean, it's 100 feet. You know, and so we get back and this guy looked down at Matt's license. He's like, whoa. And what's up? And so he goes, hey, man, you got a problem here. He goes, this license is expired and it's from Florida. He's like, Matt's like, you know, Matt, now Matt can sell anything. And Matt half-ass sells the guy. And he's like, well, look, you got to pull, you get out of here, go over there, then right at the entrance of the interstate, pull over and let him drive. Pointing at me.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Let's do it. So we go to pull out, and I look at Matt and I said, you want to know the real bitch of that story? He goes, no, what is it? I said, I don't know how to drive a stick. He goes, you want to know what's better about it? I never planned on pulling over.
That's great.
We get to Nelsonville, get there, get the cooking, and it was like, oh my gosh, thank goodness we made it out of here alive. But no, man, it's just one of those things. Let's talk a little bit about the trip, and I'm going longer with you guys than I had told you. Just kind of what happens when you come in the pit. Either one of you have a hard stop. We got Mark coming on about 8:25. If you guys got another 20 minutes in you, is that okay?
We're good.
Excellent, brother. So let's talk about a little bit about the Royal. So first time out there?
First time out there. What an experience.
And now where were you guys at? Were you guys in... We were in the far away lot the year we cooked it. We were in 76, spot 76, which is the furthest away yard from turn-ins, but the quietest. Where were you?
Oh, okay. I know where you're at. We were down in Wyoming at the very bottom. Well, I guess on the far east side. We were in 682. We were actually right next to your next guest, Mark and Richard.
Nice.
We were right next door to them.
Well,
We were just right ahead, right in front of the main pavilion, in the secondary lot. It was,
yep. Okay.
You know, it was a good location.
Yeah, we were in lot B, so we were in with mostly, you know, the invitational cooks, but we were definitely in the doldrums of lot B. So.
Yeah. Yeah, you weren't in the heart of the dark side.
No. Well, you know, thankfully we weren't in the dark side, but we were just, you know, just off the beaten path from where, you know, Myron Mixon and True Bud and all those guys were all set up, and Tuffy and got to meet Johnny Trigg and a lot of our did some barbecue celebrity stalking. So.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's cool. That's what it's all about. And, you know, especially your first time out there, you want to get out there. You want to see everybody. You want to, you know, shake hands and see if they're really what everybody says they are, you know?
I'll tell you what,
everybody
Myron Mixon
was really great. I spent a little time with Johnny Trigg and you know, talked with him a little while. We know Chris Lilly and his team. We've spent some time with them.
Yeah, Ken Hess. We've gotten another
Ken Hess, right. Now, you met Myron and a couple others, didn't you?
Yeah, I met Myron. I'll tell you what, Myron is just—he's a big teddy bear. He comes off as a sharp talker on television, but he's just—we actually took a little stroll with him back to the rig from the where they were filming Barbecue Pit Masters, and just—he's just such a great guy, and I knew and I had a feeling he was, but yeah, meeting him and I met Tuffy at Mark and I both met Tuffy at Nelsonville last year, and
he kicked our ass, all of us.
Yeah, he's a tough one every time you see him.
He's just a great guy, though. He's always willing to talk, you know, share things, and that's what's great about barbecue folk is they're always just great people, and you know, every so often you meet a team that kind of keeps themselves, but for the most part, everybody's always willing to, like you were talking about earlier in the show, just everybody's always willing. If you need something, I mean, when we got started earlier this year, we couldn't find our heads and we were missing stuff and people were just, you know, sure, here you go, you know, what do you need, let us know, that's just what's one of the fantastic things about the competitive barbecue.
Well, and anybody that thinks that's real Myron just has never met him.
Exactly.
It's not who he is. You know, we've been fortunate enough down in our part of the country, we probably cook against Myron half a dozen times a year. And we've probably been across from him or next to him four or five times.
Yep.
And he always gives me a hard time because I'll still be up, probably having a cold beer whenever, you know, he shows up to light up his fire. And he says, I'll tell you what, Chad. He said, one day I'm going to teach you. It ain't got to be that hard. I said, well, Myron, this ain't hard to me. I said, this is why I come out here every weekend. I want to be walking around at 2, 3 o'clock in the morning talking to folks, talking to the guys that are cooking on a stick burner. You know, that's what I do it for. You know, I just enjoy getting out there and socializing. And some of the best socializes after the sun goes down and before it comes
up. Oh, yeah.
You know, so.
You just have to remember to put the meat on before you leave.
Brother, I'll tell you what, you will never see. You always see, and I'll tell you what, we're not beer snobs here at Whiskey Mountain Barbecue. It's always Natty Light until the meat gets on. Once the cooker stabilizes and the meat gets on, then it's okay to pour out the old bottle of Crown and start having some libations. But until then, you got to keep it classy on the Natty Light, and then it's okay to up your game a little bit.
Well, Chad, I have to ask. I saw the one picture on your Facebook page. It looked like there were a couple of bottles of like white Zinfandel. Do you bring like your wives or your girlfriends with you? Or
I will tell you, and Mark, you get an A+ for being the ball buster. yes, it was for the wife.
Okay.
Those are actually, I could actually send a picture right now. They're still here on the corner of the bar. She got out there. She's like, oh, I forgot my wine. I was like, well, you got Crown or Natty Light? She's like, I think I'll have a Crown drink. And so, but yes, those were for her.
Okay, just checking.
Absolutely. No. We now, I mean, Crown and White Zen mix? Yeah, I think I'm about to hold off on that one. Most definitely. So you guys get out there, and so talk to me a little bit about the journey. When did you guys leave out of Ohio?
Yeah, we started out on the Wednesday late afternoon and made it over to St. Louis. My dad and I drove out. We hauled the trailer. And then Matt and his family and Todd, our teammate, you guys went all the way through, right, Matt? You guys.
Yeah, we ended up, we got a late start, and we decided to just drive straight through, and we got into Kansas City about 7 o'clock in the morning. And it was actually good that we did that because, you know, we had still had some stops to make and things we wanted to do when we got on site. And so we were able to spend some time. That's really what I about fell over. The sheer number, it's like seeing the Grand Canyon for the first time. When you get out to the Royal,
gosh. You
cannot fathom the number of teams, the size of the rigs. Just it's just incredible. And we were trying to keep a schedule, and we were going to meet up with Mark and his dad, pulling the trailer over and do that. But when we got on the road, and you know, Todd and I are both driving machines, and we decided, well, let's just go all the way through, and we're glad we did. But Mark and his dad got in right about noon, actually. And so we got set up and got things
on Thursday.
Along. It was nice on
Thursday.
Yeah.
Thursday.
Yeah.
It was nice having that extra day because we typically don't get into competitions until, we're pretty much getting into competitions and then starting to cook pretty quickly. So that extra day.
Dude, when you have all that extra time, you find yourself looking around at each other like, dude, when are they going to inspect me?
Yep.
Let's go. Let's get this thing started. And, I know that because me and Jared do a lot of that ourselves. I mean, we'll pull out on a Friday morning or Friday late morning, show up at 2, and we're like, where's meat inspection? Where's meat inspection? Let's go. We got time clicking here. And when you get out there a whole day earlier than that, it's really kind of nice, especially when you're cooking a big event like that and you want to walk around. Or I know for us, it was nice. We didn't order anything. We were like, well, dude, we'll go to barbecue. You know, we'll go over to barbecue supply store and eat lunch over at Oklahoma Joe's and knock out two birds with one stone.
We did that exactly.
And I'll tell you
thing,
what, man,
yeah.
For as many people as I have seen Oklahoma Joe's serve, you know, in an hour, and I've been there. I've been out to Kansas City numerous times for business, and I always go to that same one because I'm going to make an admission here. I will go to the barbecue supply store, and they've got all those rub testers.
Yep.
And I'll probably taste every damn one of them. And I may be out there 1 month and go back the next month. And, dude, I'll do the old Pitmaster dabble and taste on the palm and go,
yep.
Yeah, I need to get one of those. Or, I don't need that one. I'm going to try the next one. And but what a good time. But Oklahoma Joe's? You know, there was a night that I was there that the line was out the door. I just hung around at barbecue supply store till it closed.
Yep.
And went over there, had to, and then when I got in the line, it was probably 10 deep out. And I'll tell you what, I ate burn-ins that night that I put in the turning box. And I sat there and went.
Yeah, he does a fantastic job.
Yeah, and I sat there and went, dude, this line's been 70, 80 deep all night. But those burn ends were just so good that I would have put them in a box and thought I went top five. I mean, that just says something to the attention to detail that they pay there.
I thought the ribs that I had there were fantastic. I mean, they were closing in on comp quality.
Yeah, it's just so cool. So you got
there's only a few places that I've found. You know, we've stopped at Q Barbecue, Tuffy's place in Richmond a few times. Oh my God, that's about the closest I've ever had to comp barbecue that you get. And they just do a fantastic job out there as well.
Well, and I'll tell you, when I got on the radar, next time I go back to D.C., I got to go in and see Heath and the boys from Pork Barrel. I just know what Heath is about, and I can't believe that they aren't turning out top quality stuff out there.
Yeah, I'm sure they are. Yeah, my brother lives in Alexandria, so we've been meaning to get over there as soon as we can. And in fact, I was talking to Heath and just telling him that you know, I want my brother to stop down there as soon as he can. And next time I'm in D.C., I want to get down to see him. And that's where Heath is one of those guys where he's just like, you know, come on down. Let me know you're coming. I'll, you know,
I'll take care of
the place. And
try it all. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, no, he's a good guy, man. We when we were out in Vegas this year at the Ronnie Cates event, you know, we talked, and me and Heath have known each other through a couple of other things, you know, other contests and this and that.
Yeah.
And we saw each other out in Vegas. We're like, cool. And then, you know, Ronnie gave us tickets to the ACM Awards, and we ended up being right next to each other. And so it was super fun. We had a blast, and just what a great guy.
Yes.
That's awesome. You know, another good place for anybody in the Texas, Central Texas region, head on to Franklin Barbecue in Austin.
Oh,
that,
yeah.
That's some pretty epic stuff for those that haven't had it.
Yeah. I mean, dude, you've seen the looks on me, Mark. I don't know that I want to stand in line for 3 hours anywhere. I'm going to have to take a chair with me, brother. But no, that's all the rage that I hear. And I used to work for a company out of Dallas. And I had a buddy of mine that said, man, every time I get down to Austin, I'll go stand in line. I got to have that barbecue.
Well, yeah, there's people in Austin will pay, you know, there's students from UT that'll stand in line.
Yeah.
And then make the order, and, you know, the guy comes up, gives them the money, and then they get a sandwich or half a pound of brisket out of it.
That's just being a worker right there.
That's right.
Good problem to have for Aaron Franklin.
Exactly. So you guys get out there, and so you obviously take in the sights on Thursday. So Friday, did you find yourselves being any tenser, or was it one of those things you knew you were coming into such a kind of badass field that you were like, look, man, let's just do what we've done and go on? Well, how did you approach it?
I think it was the usual approach. Matt was cool and collected, and I was nervous as a cat on a hot tin roof.
I don't know if that's
to be
true,
honest.
But
we really executed our game plan. I mean, it really wasn't much different than what we normally do. And, you know, with the three of us, I mean, it was a pretty good routine. So we enjoyed going over to the dark side parties on the Friday night and getting out with everybody. So I don't think it was it wasn't a real different cook, was it, Matt? It seemed pretty ordinary. Saturday was a little more tense than usual.
But what's funny about that is our Saturday cook was better than our Friday cook. So our turn-ins for the Invitational, I didn't think were quite as strong as what we turned in for the Open. And obviously going into the Royal with a GC, there's only so many teams that can say they're going into the Royal with a GC the week before. So that was a nice confidence booster. But, as far as, I mean, we've cooked enough this year that we're really comfortable with our recipes and our processes and everything. So I think from that standpoint, we were really calm and collected. And I know once we got into our rhythm, we were actually, you know, because we had family with us, you know, that we normally don't have at a competition.
Yep.
So that threw us off a little bit. And once we got, you know, once everybody went back to the hotel and we were able to do what we do, that's when we really found our stride and were able to do. I mean, we were pleased with our cook. We think our scores could have been better. You know, I don't know if it, I think of something you wanted to touch on as far as, you know, the palate of a more Western judge versus, you know, in the middle of, you know, Eastern, the Midwest. You can't call Ohio the Midwest, I don't think, but it's
no.
For some reason it still is, but. You know, so we don't know if, you know, if there was some taste differences there, but you know, we were happy with everything. But that was, you know, we definitely hit our stride once everybody was away from the cook site and we could do our thing. And the other thing nice about that sphere is, you know, for the first 4 hours, you can basically just set it and forget it and do that sort of thing. So we were able to walk around and.
Well, I'll tell you for. Our first experience in the Royal, and some of the repeat listeners have heard this. I mean, there's no doubt about it. We got the ever-living crap kicked out of us at the Invitational. And we think that we cook sweet barbecue in Florida, and it's not nearly sweet enough. We were very fortunate to have two awesome Texas teams that we were next to. AAA Smoke or AAA Cookers, and she thinks my slabs are sexy. And we came back after the Invitational, man. We were just dejected. I mean, I looked at the guys and I said, we're going to do one of three things. We're either going to just hook this shit up and leave, just get back to Florida a day early. Two, we're just going to sit here and all drink ourselves blind and not even worry about the Open. Or we're just going to go way, way different. And so Glenn Jarrett hears us talking about this, and Glenn goes, and you got to know Glenn to understand how he did it. He walks over there like he's, you know, just solving a damn riddle and goes, well, you boys got any sauce you turned in today? I said, oh, yeah, we got something right up there on the table. Let me get it for you. And I gave it to him, and he said, huh, y'all boys ain't got any sweetener? I said, Glenn, that's diabetic.
He said, maybe that was our mistake. I mean, we're pretty sweet and with a little spice, but maybe we needed to go get a bottle of Kara syrup and part for it.
He said, buddy, he said, that's not, he said, that ain't sweet at all by these standards. And he said, what'd you cook your pork to? And I told him the number, and he said, well, why don't you pull it about 10 degrees earlier and slice it like you would a holiday ham. And I said, what are you talking about? He goes, I'm talking about big old thick slices. And I said, really? And he said, yeah. And so the next day, out of 485 teams, that's the only change we made. We went to Walmart. We bought agave nectar, honey, syrup, maple syrup. I mean, and dude, we just took that. We're like, you know what? If we're going to go out, we're going to go out in a blaze of glory. I couldn't even taste that sauce. It was so viscous, and it was just nasty. 33rd out of 485.
Probably tasted more like pancakes.
You know what? And so then I got dialed back to last year at Nelsonville. Keith kicked in. And so I went back over, and our buddies, not Smitty's, God, what's the there's another team up there that we cook with.
Brutus?
It's not Smitty's, but it's close, name-wise.
Jimmy and the Squealers?
There we go, Jimmy and the Squealers.
Yep.
Yeah.
So we go over there, and an old boy, me and the tall blonde Marine out of Jimmy and the Squealers.
Yeah.
Boy, we had
Matt
before, son.
No, it's not Matt. I can't think of his name.
No, Matt is his name, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Matt. Okay. There's two tall guys then.
Yeah.
Yep.
Me and Matt had lit it up the night before. Boy, we closed down that bar across the street, and then it just happened to be that the pizzeria owner said, hey, if we can get two cases of beer, we'll go back to my pizzeria, and we'll open it up and drink all night. And so, long story short, me and Matt had made some friends. I said, if you don't mind me asking, let me taste your sauce that y'all turned in today. Because they did well. I think they top fived it. And it was super sweet. And I was like, man, this is sweeter than what we cook in Florida, but not nearly as sweet as what we had to turn in Kansas City. And that was just the thing that we learned out there was on pork, pull it a little earlier. Your ribs, if they're a little snappy, it won't hurt you. Brisket didn't change a thing. We added a little bit of sweet to the au jus, and that helped out some. And chicken, we just used the sweeter sauce, but didn't change a thing about how we cooked it. And that was about what we learned out of the Royal. And it sounds
I wish we would have had this conversation a couple weeks ago.
Hey, Matt, I'm going to tell on Mark here for a second. I told Mark, when we couldn't line up the show the week before y'all went out there, I gave my number and said, call me and I'll share with you what we learned at the Royal.
And I never did.
Mark,
oh, damn.
I didn't. I know I meant to, but, man, we got on the road and I didn't look back.
Yeah, you get into that road trip mode, man. You don't want to talk to anybody. You just want to kind of just roll out and have a good time. Hey, I get it, brother.
Hey, Matt, I owe you
$12,500. Well, we already got our invite for next year, so we know what to do for next year's Royal. So.
Absolutely, man. And
take
so
what, take the already sweet stuff we're doing and just kick it up another notch. So.
Well, and what you learned, you know, on your brisket, taking 25th of the Invitational out of that group is, you know, you're cooking it right. It just may be a little, you know, and even in that group, 25th, you know, you may have caught the toughest table and you may have finished first at your table. You don't know that you didn't.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, it, you're already on the track with at least one category.
It's funny, though, because I hear so many teams say, you know, when you're moving around the country, don't, you know, most teams, I mean, Scotty Johnson and some of the other guys that I've talked with, they say, don't change categorically what you're doing. And that may be true for the smaller local contests, but I think to make yourself stand out at something as big as the Royal, I think you do have to do some pretty heavy duty changes to really stand out. And I think the experience that you gain on the competition trail, just by doing the smaller local contests, you get into a stride and a rhythm where you start doing well. And I think when you do finally jump into a really big contest like the Royal or the Jack or, you know, some of the other larger contests, I think it's so hard to make yourself stand out that you just kind of have to, you know, throw something at the wall and see if it sticks.
Yeah.
Well, we kind of had the attitude we didn't want to mix up what got us there, right? And look back and say, wow, it was good enough to get us here, but, you know, but I think a little sweeter out there would have been a great move.
Well, and it's one of those things. I, you know, Scotty and those guys that have cooked all around the country, I mean, I respect what they say. My thing is, I would have never thought to cook anything any different from a tenderness point of view. But I would say you definitely have to tinker with your sauces a lot more. And we've cooked from Las Vegas to Rhode Island and everything in between. And
yeah.
I would say one thing I learned cooking in Rhode Island, it's pretty close to Vermont. You may want to add some grade A maple syrup in there. Because my good buddy Slednet cooked some ribs that they were, oh, man, cooked-wise, they were spot on.
Yeah.
And then, but when I tasted the flavor of it, I was like, God dang it, Slednik, I'm a big boy, you're a big boy, you trying to kill us here? He was like, that's what's going to hit, buddy. I'm telling you, that's what's going to hit. Guess what? First place ribs.
Yeah.
And so you just have to pick that up. And we think in Florida that we cook sweet. And you guys up there probably think, man, we cook super sweet. But it's obviously they're sweeter, gentlemen.
That's a real eye-opener. I would have never guessed that Kansas City would have been, especially when you consider the variations just in Kansas City barbecue.
For me, and I'll tell you, going
right.
to the first time, as a layman, I thought, oh, this is Kansas City, tomato-based. You know, real man's barbecue. Maybe we're too sweet. And then you find out, after the first day, no, that's not the case. Not the case at all. And but anyway, you live and you learn. And you know what? All three of us will sign back up to go out there and take that same lesson again if we got to. You know, it's just such a mecca and such a good time, you know, and such a good thing to celebrate within.
It really
and you can't
is.
Win if you don't show up. So
absolutely. I totally agree with that. And, I also totally agree with, you know, you got to go out there just to kind of network and meet new teams and see people from different places, you know?
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah, you also find out about contests you didn't even know about. You know, some of the ones aren't as advertised as the others, like in the Bull Sheet, or if it doesn't make the KCBS site soon enough, you know, you lose out on some of those things.
So real quick on the Xenia GC. Were you guys intimidated when you saw such a celebrity like Rob Marion come out there?
You know, we know Rob. We've competed against him, two or three times?
I just wanted that soundbite.
Oh, no, we're not intimidated by Rob. Not at all.
I'm actually going to dub that and make him make that his ringtone for at least a week.
Well, we love Rob. We really respect him as a cook. And, you know, the first time we met him, you know, knowing that he was one of the best from Ohio and had been all over the country, you know, he, you know, back to your earlier comments on the call about, you know, cooks taking others under their wing, you know, he was showing us, you know, some of the comp techniques just in, you know, just in presentation or, you know, ingredients and things like that that he, as a new cook, you don't really think as much about. And so he was pretty open with that, and, you know, he's always been really encouraging of the team. But yeah, we, you know, he was there. He was cooking on all, like, borrowed equipment. Jim Ferguson, who was the organizer, who did a heck of a job with the event. And you know, many know Jim from his time running the event in Kettering and now in Xenia, you know, really hooked Rob up with all the equipment that he needed, picked him up at the airport, set him up for the cook and everything. And Rob did great. He was what, Matt, third or fourth, I think, something like that? He had a great...
I don't remember specifically, but...
Yeah, so we spent some time with him there, and it was great just cooking alongside him. He was two or three doors down, and got to spend some good time, and you know encouraging him for the Jack now in 2 weeks.
Dude, he's about as good as they get, man. Rob's just a stand up dude, and not only, I mean, you love him as a barbecue cook, but then you look at what he does professionally day in and day out.
Yeah.
You know, and Mark, me and you may bitch about technology and this and that, and yeah, it sucks at times. But
and one of the best stories, best stories in barbecue is how he had to.
He got into the Jack this year. Hell yeah.
Well, I know, and how he forfeited his entry last year for something he had to do with the returning vets in the military, and how he, you know, I don't know if there was quite a few people telling the Jack people to say you got to get Rob in. But it sounds like they were already going to do it. But just the fact that he got invited, you know, they extended him the invitation this year is a fantastic story. And Rob's one of those guys where when I first met him, I mean, he's a big guy.
Yeah.
I was kind of intimidated by him.
Yeah.
And I've told Rob this. And, you know, I thought he was going to be kind of a gruff, you know, kind of hard-headed kind of guy.
Yep.
And then you start talking to him, and you say Myron Mixon's a teddy bear. Myron Mixon doesn't have anything on Rob as far as being a big teddy bear. He's just this big, great guy that, you know, is just a ball to talk to and will do anything for you. And he's at the top of the class as far as barbecue people go.
Dude, he is huggable. He's gave me a lot of hugs. Some of them were uncomfortable. I mean,
a little too long.
They're all good until he goes for the hiney back. You know, when he goes for that reach on the butt, I mean, that's enough, Rob. That's enough. We're good buddies. But no, I can tell you, I know at least one person, this guy, that wrote a real long email to Debbie Chastain over at the Jack you know, not only do you know that, you know, he had a platoon rotating back that weekend, not only did he not cook it, he let Corey from Fatbacks take his rig.
That's right. Yeah, I remember hearing about that.
And so, you know, it's. I mean, that's just. I mean, I don't know that, dude. That's a storyline. If that guy goes out there and wins here, dude, that's one for the ages, and he deserves it.
Yep. Oh yeah.
And I can tell you, talking to him as a buddy, he is no more focused on anything than putting up a good show in there. And we wish him all the best. So guys.
Absolutely.
We went a lot longer than we thought our time would, but like I promised you, it sounded like a Friday night of the contest, didn't it?
Yeah, it's great catching up, Chad. Really enjoyed our time here and talking with you.
Now, before we let you go, is there any sponsors or any plugs you want to get in before we go over to Mark?
Not really. We are solely,
Just come on over to Velvet Smoke Barbecue and, you know, when you're in Cincinnati, look us up on Facebook, like the page. You know, Matt's running a heck of an operation there, and if you're ever in town, you know, hit the page, like the Velvet Smoke Barbecue page on Facebook, and there'll be details of where the group's set up, right, Matt?
Yeah, and we'll be at Findlay Market all through the winter, so
awesome.
And more details to come. So,
and you guys can check them out, Velvet Smoke BBQ on Facebook and also velvetsmokebbq.com there on the net. So check them out. Guys, thanks so much for coming on tonight. It's been a blast, and I hope I didn't offend you guys, and it won't be your last time in the pit.
Hey, we'll look forward to coming back.
All right, guys. Hey, take care and best of luck.
Yeah.
All
right.
Thanks,
Chad.
All right, guys.
Bye bye.
There we go. Matt and Mark, Velvet Smoke, BBQ. Those guys that went out of the Jack or went out of the Royal had a great time. On top of that, you know, Xenia wasn't an easy contest. That was a tough contest to beat those guys at, and they took down a GC pretty handily. And we didn't get to talk, you know, a lot about their cooking techniques or this and that, but we'll talk about that more later when we get them back on the show. But just what a blast to talk to a new team, get to know them a little bit. And I'm sorry, guys. Sometimes I just get caught up into that. I like to learn about folks and what led them to this and just kind of it goes from there. So I've told you, there's nothing scripted here on Whiskey Vent Barbecue in the Pit. It's kind of like me and some folks are having a conversation, and I hope you guys enjoy listening in. But it's a lot of fun to meet folks like them, and I think that's what makes our show unique every Tuesday night. So with that being said, let's meet somebody else new to the pit, Mark Rasmussen.
Very good. I'm very good on saying my last name correctly, Chad. Thank you so much for having me.
I'll tell you what, man. I cannot say Rasmussen and Rumpelstiltskin five times right together.
I don't think anybody can.
Dude, it's just there's too many S's.
There is. Yeah, I wish I could have gotten in through to you a little sooner because Matt and Mark were cooking right next to us at the Royal. And we had a good time with those guys out there. And, you know, just you were talking about a little bit earlier, too, about, you know, helping people out, this, that, and the other thing. And that's what, you know, when it comes those 2 hours like you talked about, yeah, you know, everybody's for themselves at that point. But other than that, we're best of friends and, you know, Matt needed a little help out with some hot water to do some dishes, and my trailer's got that. So, hey, no problem at all, you know. And that's what we all love about barbecue.
So speaking of that, Mark, what and we just go right in and we'll get to everything before. Don't worry about it. What do you cook in?
I use a Southern Q. It's called the 500. It's called the 500 because it can hold 500 pounds of meat. It's a water smoker. It's insulated. It's built up in Kennesaw, Georgia by Scott Smith. I've been cooking on those now for insulated smokers for the last two seasons and had great success with them. I'm a hot and fast cooker, so I get to get a little sleep, you know, and well, maybe not enough sleep because I hang out and have too much fun sometimes Friday night, but you know, I light my fire at 4:30 in the morning and meat goes on at 5. So, you know, these other guys are up all night. It's, you know, I just love the way, you know, hot and fast cooking is. And it seems like a lot of people are going to it even on other types of smokers. It doesn't have to be a water smoker, you know, or an insulated smoker for that matter.
Well, let's hold that thought for a second.
Okay.
And then let's talk about the barbecuesuperstore.com, and then we're going to get back to cooking.
Exactly. Rich Parker and I purchased the Great Lakes Barbecue Supply.
I mean, hey, hold on. This Rich Parker guy, I mean, do you trust him?
As far as I can throw him, no. Rich.
He's in chat right now. I'm just busting his balls a little bit.
Well, he's got the kids to watch tonight, so, you know, we were supposed to both be on, as you know, and he got kid duty tonight, and, you know, he's handling that business while I'm handling this business. But, no, Rich is a great guy. You know, I was down in Georgia for 16 years and just moved back up here last year, and Rich is one of the first guys I got to meet, you know, as part of the Great Lakes Barbecue Association, and, you know, just been good friends since, and, you know, Mike Terry and Steve Connington decided that they wanted to put the business up for sale. And you know, we looked at it and said, hey, you know, this is something we like. Let's go for it. So, you know, we've gone hand over, you know, kettle on this one, getting into it. And it's been a challenge getting the website up and going. You know, that's Rich is the IT guy. And, you know, I kind of handle all the shipping and receiving and all the, you know, all that stuff. But I think we were a little overwhelmed at first as far as getting this going, and it took a little bit longer than we had hoped to get the website up. But BBQSuperstore.com is out there, and you know, our tagline is the best products at the best prices. So, you know, we're going to put, you know, stuff out there that pro teams are going to use, and also the professional in his own backyard. You know, that's our market.
And I'll tell you what, guys, if you go over there, and don't get me wrong, Steve and Mike laid a great base for all this to happen on. I mean, they were kind of, you know, early adopters, if you will. And there was always great products over at Great Lakes Barbecue Supply. The reason me, Mike, and Steve met was I was a good customer, and I just got up there cooking that way one weekend, and they said, hold on, you're that guy, and we're this guy, and you've got a voice. Let's work together.
Exactly.
And, you know, and me, you, and Rich haven't had the pleasure of really meeting and talking like that. But, you know, I know both of you guys from just – isn't it weird how we say, you know, we know each other from Facebook?
Oh, yeah.
Just a sign of our times.
Exactly. But, yeah, we're best friends on Facebook.
Exactly. But I do, and I know kind of where you guys are going with this and some of the discussions we've had between, you know, me and Rich and me and you is really just trying to make this the site that is the go-to, because – The one thing that I think folks need to realize is you have a cook team, Rich has a cook team, so when an order comes in on Monday, you're thinking like cook teams cook. Think.
Exactly.
They're sitting there going, oh, shit, it's Monday morning. I don't have any Butcher's Barbecue Phosphates. I don't have any Bovine Bold. I need to order this right now and cross my fingers and hope to hell it's here by Thursday when I leave on Friday morning. But you guys are probably thinking the same way.
Oh, we do. And, you know, we've had some recent orders even from down in your neck of the woods that, hey, got a call on Tuesday and, you know, it needs to go out yet Tuesday so it be overnighted because this person was going to get on a plane Wednesday afternoon.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, I don't, you know, my office, my day job for my fun job is about 10 miles away, and, you know, I don't mind running home if it's something that's urgent and needs to get out the same day, no problem. But most everything, you know, goes out mostly the same day or the next morning. So, you know, we're trying to pride ourselves on getting the product out fast, getting it out at a great price, and, you know, exactly, getting it to the cooks that need it. You know, I know we're coming into a little bit of the down season, but this is the season where people need to start trying some stuff out if they want to tweak something, this, that, or the other. You know, come to our site and try out some great products.
Absolutely, no, and that's the thing. I mean, you guys are just adding to it, it seems like, almost weekly. You know what I mean?
Right.
And here's the thing I'll tell you about these guys, for all y'all listening out there, is if there's something that maybe you're buying one or two items from Barbecue Superstore online, and, you know, you wish that they were carrying one or two more, send them an email. And just say, you know, there's a contact us right there. And just say, hey, guys, you know, take a look at this. Take a look at that. And Mark and Rich will order it in, you know, or they'll ask for a sample. They'll taste it out. They'll cook with it and go, that's worthy of being in the store. You know, it seems like you guys are trying to really be the one-stop shop.
We are. And, you know, we just recently added, you know, from kind of down in my old stomping grounds in Georgia, a good friend, William Latimer, BBQ.
Oh, yeah.
Just added his rubs, his sauce, Meat Mitch with Womp, and also his Naked sauce.
I mean, because you know that barbecue guy, he's just a hack.
Just a great guy, and to me, in my personal opinion, the most consistent cook that I've ever met in my life. I mean, he's week in, week out. He's out there. He's a road warrior 40 weeks of the year, and he's always in it. You can't count him out. So,
well,
the other things that we've added just recently, you know, Oak Ridge Barbecue, we've added Fab, all the Fab lines, Cosmos Q, Simply Marvelous, Texas Pepper Jelly. We picked up a lot of that when we were out at the Oil.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's some really
good
stuff.
Craig on site.
Oh, yeah. He's a super great guy. We got to meet him, and
dude,
he actually had a couple calls down there, so he was doing well.
Fifth overall at the Open.
Yep. Yeah, he had a good day. So, no. But and he's got a lot of interesting, you know, lines. And people think, you know, and I can tell you firsthand because I've used the apple habanero and the apple cinnamon habanero. You hear that word habanero and you think hot. And it's got a little kick to it for the most part. I mean, I mix it with another sauce to kind of give it that glaze. But, I mean, it adds great flavor to any of your base sauces that you want to, you know, want to use, or just use it outright. I mean, it's good. It's a very thin sauce. So, I mean, that's why I would say you might want to mix it with something that you're already using, but great, great flavor.
Well, I'll tell you this. I'll let a secret out in the pit. If we do or take our ribs out of foil, I couldn't tell you. Mm-hmm. But I like to lay down a little bit of rib candy.
Yep.
Cut in with maybe a little fruit syrup. Paint it on the ribs. Let that sit. And then paint your sauce on. And to me, that gives you another... Because if your sauce is sweet, you've already added something. You know, you've already cut that habanero a bunch.
Yep.
And to me, it's just that... With that rib candy, you're working it, and you're saying, this is just another level of flavor that I'm giving you. And I'll tell you what, it works on pork butt, too. It's not just rib candy. It works on, I've seen people working on chicken, ribs, and pork and do very, very well with it.
Yep. One other quick plug, if I may get that in there too. I'll get it in a couple more times too. But if listeners go out to thebarbecuesuperstore.com between now and through Sunday night, we are giving your listeners 10% discount. And when you go to check out, you just hit coupon code, and the coupon code is real easy: Whiskey Bent. So
love it.
So spell Whiskey Bent out. What our IT department said, you know, it could be, if you want to use uppercase, that should work, but either upper or lowercase on Whiskey Bent, just spelled out as one word. You'll get 10% off through Sunday night. And I will say this, I'm going out of town tomorrow, so all orders that are shipped or ordered tomorrow through Sunday will be shipped out on Monday. So,
excellent. That is awesome. Anytime people are coming in and giving the listeners a little discount, God love you, brother.
Well, if it wasn't for them, you know, we wouldn't be, you know, we wouldn't have a store, and, you know, and wouldn't be able to, you know, we got into this as just a way to, you know, hopefully help offset some of the comp costs out there. You know, I mean, if it can, you know, pay for a few entry fees here and there, great. You know, we want to grow it from there, and, you know, maybe it's something we can retire off of someday. Who knows?
You know, and the other thing I like about it is, you know, and I'll be honest with you, folks. It's not like I call up Mark and Rich, or even back in the day when it was Mike and Steve, and say, hey, just ship me what I want. I'm a customer, and you know, when you shop it around, one of the things I took from Rob Bagby's class was be cheap when it comes to barbecue, is, you know, there's not a better deal in town. There's really not, you know, when you look at aggregating it all together, and the way I got hooked on Great Lakes back in the day was Blues Hog. Mm-hmm. I could buy Blues Hog and get it shipped to my house cheaper than anywhere else. And you know, and that's just one of those things. And when you're buying that Blues Hog, take a look at all the other stuff out there. I'll tell you what, Oak Ridge, our buddies Unknown Barbecue, are sponsored by them. They do really well with a lot of their seasonings. I've tasted them on the meat. It's really nice stuff.
Right.
Bubbecue. I mean, like we were joking earlier, that guy's no slouch. You know, 2 years ago, Bubba decided he wanted to go to New Mexico and all over this country and cook, and never landed himself outside the top five.
Exactly.
Cooking his flavors, his deal. I will tell you right now, his beef rub is phenomenal. His sauce. If you're looking to get a little bit away from the Blues Hog and be a little bit different but still have those familiar flavors, you got to order some of that. It's really good stuff.
It is. And I can tell you firsthand, I don't like to tip my hand very much, but tip my hand, I should say. I use his sauce, and I use his rub. I use his pork rub. It's an all-purpose rub, but I use it a lot on pork and some ribs and stuff too, and it's great stuff. I mean, and that's the great thing that I like about Bubba. I went to his first class ever that he taught, and the greatest thing that I got out of it was what he opened up with, and it was something he had told me a year before he even taught his first class. He said, "Mark, you'll be amazed at how simple my processes are." And that's what he opened up his class with, and that's what he taught. And, you know, it's amazing, you know, that he's just a consistent cook week in, week out. And it's not rocket science. I mean, we try to reinvent the wheel out there. We're like, oh, well, this guy's using this, and that guy's using that. And it's got to work for me, you know. Just if you find something that's working, you know, definitely go for it. I understand if it's not working, you got to try something different. But, you know, he's definitely found it. And, I'm sure he might tweak a little here and there, but, you know, for the most part, he's using his own stuff week in, week out, so.
Well, I will tell you a rumor that I heard from a pretty reliable source, but I'm just going to say it's a rumor so I don't get anybody pissed off.
Yeah, there you go.
The first time Bubba ever used any Blues Hog in anything was this weekend.
Oh, up there at,
at Bentonville. Because that came from sound advisement from folks, and I think he finished 14th overall.
Yeah, and I kind of know why, in a way, in my opinion, from what he's talked with me about, was, you know, he's like, you know, I don't do well when I get towards Kansas City and Missouri area and stuff like that, and I think that's what helped bring that Blues Hog out for him.
Well, so. And I mean, you heard us talking with Velvet Smoke earlier tonight. It just gets super sweet out there.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, when you're in the home of sweetness, get sweet, boys.
Yeah, exactly.
In the good way. Yeah. Not that sweet.
Yeah, we don't mean that way. No.
Yeah. A Florida boy and a Georgia boy talking knows when you go get sweet, it means.
Exactly.
It can mean numerous things. but, you know, talking about Bubba for a second, I know he's been on the show before and said this, and me and him have talked personally, and he said this. You know, at a contest, it's 12 pieces of chicken. At a KCBS contest, 12 pieces of chicken, 3 slabs of ribs, 2 pork butts, and a brisket.
And that's exactly what I'm usually about 10 thighs.
Yeah.
So.
And he said, Chad, what I've learned about myself, I'm not talking about anybody else. He said, but myself, that's all I can really concentrate on, and it makes me focus. Because I know I don't have 6 thighs of just dead soldier. You know, I've got maybe 2
right.
for my box presentation that I want to do.
Right.
And I'm like, well, damn, man, that's really leading on to something.
Right.
So, Mark, to finish up talking about the store, I mean, I know you, I know Richard. You guys are open to, if you think there's a good product out there, folks, drop these guys a line. TheBarbecueSuperstore.com. Go there, contact us, and you know you guys will definitely take it under consideration, right?
Definitely. You know, there's a couple products that we're going to be bringing here soon that I'm not going to speak of at the moment, but you know, they came out of suggestions, and you know, I mean, hey, if there's enough people that want it, we're going to put it there, and you know, that's our focus. Like I said, is the best products at the best prices. We want, you know. We could go out and we could buy 100 different sauces. But if they're things that people aren't going to use, you know, we're wasting our money. So we're not going to, you know, put a bad foot forward. We want to put the best stuff out there. You know, if there's, you know, I will talk about. I mean, there are a couple of, there's one of Blues Hog sauces that we don't carry that we will be carrying, the Smoky Mountain sauce. We're going to be getting that. You know, it's things like that that, you know, we see – you know, what people are using, and we're willing to get input from people. So please, like Chad was just saying, go to the website, barbecuesuperstore.com, you know, contact us, and, you know, we'll talk about it. And I think for the most part, we've got a lot of the major players out there right now on our site for sale, but I'm sure there's, you know, a host of others in different regions that we just don't know about. I mean, we talked a little bit, you know, we're probably going to be bringing, you know, I will drop this one too. Probably some Slap Your Daddy products out there. Bring in some more of those California customers that, you know, they see him all, they see Harry Sue all the time. You know, well, hey, we want to try and help sell some of that product too. So.
Well, you know, you just educated me. I didn't even know Harry had a line of shit.
He does. Yeah, you know.
I didn't mean to say shit. I mean, I didn't know he had a line of products.
Well, hey. FCC monitoring this blog or no?
No. We're. I mean,
we're
hey,
clear.
Mark, if you want to F bomb, hey, get it out of the way, brother. I mean, we can do it here. Internet radio.
No, I'm not fired up. I haven't been into the Jack Daniels enough yet to drop that. So, no, you know, he's got, you know, what is it, three different routes? And, you know, that's something that, you know, hey, we want to showcase that too, because, I mean, it. There's name recognition there, too. I mean, people know who Harry Sue is, you know, all right. Over the country. So
here's my two requests.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't been all over the site yet, the new site.
Mm-hmm.
My two requests, Rooftop Barbecue. Andy Allen out of California has a phenomenal sauce, which we use a lot of.
Okay.
He has a rub that's got some really nice different... some different taste to it that's really good on a couple different categories. And he has actually a little jelly that's pretty sweet, a little peach jalapeno jelly.
Okay.
And then the other one I want to hit on is Big Mista's. Oh, Big Neil. And you're probably thinking, what's a Florida boy doing taking care of all these California boys? But that's my people. And if you need me to, I'll get Andy and Neil to ship you guys some samples. But
definitely.
Products are very battle-tested. I can tell you through this camp and through a couple others. Well, and now Rich said, we've been in talks with Andy. We'll be getting Rooftop and have talked with Shane about carrying drapers. Awesome.
Oh,
Rich, the other one, and he's a very accessible guy. Need to talk to my boy Neil. Big Neil. I mean, you got to carry Neil. I mean, he's a celebrity.
Yeah.
I mean, he's the only guy that comes on my show and just says, hey, let me take the stage for a minute, big guy. But no, we love Neil Strutter, and I'll tell you what, if there's one of them you got to buy, oh, it's his perfect pork rub. It is good, and the things that it's just got some different tones to it. But when you cook it, it just comes out a little bit different. It's really nice.
Okay.
So anyway. Bunch about the store.
You get us some free tests on that, Chad. We'll definitely, you know, Rich and I will get together and have a little cook-off in our own backyard and against those products, and we'll see how they taste. And, yeah, we'd love to carry them.
Sounds good. And, no, that'd be great. And I think those two would be a great compliment to the line. So let's get back to talking about cooking a little bit. So the one thing that I didn't know till we talked a little bit today is that, and for you guys that are in the Southeast, y'all are going to recognize this cook team name, Q'n', Stewin', and Brewin'. Always a big name in the Southeast in KCBS contest. Always do a wonderful job. And Mark, you were part of the team.
Yep. Scott Smith and I started it up, and it's kind of a similar story, and there's so many stories that are similar, you know, as how everybody started and how the disease started for us all in this barbecue stuff. But Scott and I have been good friends for a long time. We've competed in, you know, golf every week, this, that, and the other thing. And, you know, we just kind of messed around with cooking a little bit. And we entered a backyard contest in Kennesaw, Georgia at the Pigs and Peaches event and took second overall, took second place in pork, and we're like, wow. And I mean, we cook three categories. I know Matt and Mark were talking about that they actually cook four categories in theirs, but, you know, cook three categories, and there was 36 teams, and I'm like, oh, this stuff's easy. We can do this. And then, you know, he went out and he bought a Mule Tough smoker, and we bought a big, you know, we bought a trailer, you know, a Playmore trailer, you know, and a work and play trailer, and oh, we were hooked, and our first professional event was actually in Pensacola, and which is a great event down there that Ivan holds down there, and just we're hooked ever since. And we just you know, we met Myron Mixon. I actually bought one of his smokers the patio cooker, and this is a quick little side story, but you know, I couldn't get the thing to hold temperature for anything. I couldn't get it up to temp because you're supposed to be cooking hot and fast with this water cooker. I couldn't figure it out, so I was talking with him, and he says, you know, without a hitch and true Myron form, you know, I said, you know, I can't get this. I'm about this close to listing this thing on Craigslist. And he says, well, I'll give you half of what you paid for it right now. And I was like, what? And then, you know, then he laughed it off, and he says, no, be here at 4:30 in the morning, and I'll show you how this thing works. So, you know, we went through that, and I wasn't putting enough charcoal to it, and you know. But I figured that out, and then that's when Scott and I pretty much switched to using the patio cooker and cooking hot and fast, and we just kind of fell in love with it. And then Scott, kind of by trade, has always been a welder and things like that, and he just decided to start building some smokers. And you know, he and I had an idea. Actually, the second smoker that I got from Scott was an idea he and I had, was kind of making it a patio smoker but insulated, and I was cooking on that for most of early part of the year, and then I switched trailers. Scott's also a trailer dealer for Freedom Trailers, patio
whoa,
trailers.
What's the name of his trailer dealership?
It's he sells Freedom Trailers. They're built in South Georgia, but you can go to his website at, I'll get a quick plug in for him too, SouthernQSmokers.com, and it's got the trailers listed on there and also his smokers. He builds a variety of smokers. He builds, for lack of a better word, a Stumps clone in a way. You know, it's got the charcoal chute and it's insulated. That smoker this year alone, now Scott will have to correct me on this, I think it's got $4,000 or $5,000 on that smoker, you know, that style that he's got several teams cooking on. And he had either $4,000 or $5,000 on it this year alone.
Well, so, when you say trailer, you're talking about just a pull-behind cooker?
No, this is no. This is and actually, Rich got a trailer from him too.
Really?
Because
we're kind of in the market for a porch trailer. That's why my ears perked up.
Yeah, Rich has got a 20-foot total, which is 10 and 10, so it's 10-foot enclosed, 10-foot open on the patio. I've got a 22-foot, and mine's actually a vending trailer, so it's got a vending window. Got the three sinks plus the hand wash sink, the, you know, hot water heater and everything, and the holding tanks and everything. Really, really neat unit. It's all stainless steel on the inside, and I love it.
Well, Mark, do me a favor. Just me and you talking with all these people listening. Will you send me a link to that when we get done tonight on Facebook? Because I like to do business with people that I know, and we're definitely in the market over there here the next couple of months for a pork smoker.
Sure, definitely. I mean, I've it's funny, you kind of work your way through, and you know, you see what you kind of want and see what other people have, and you got to go with what works for you. And I mean, there's a lot of people, you know, that still love just putting the old, you know, 10 by 10 easy up and going from there. You know, I've graduated that I don't want that anymore. You know, I want the trailer. You know, I pull in, I plug in my electric, hook up my water, and I'm done.
You want to get there as one person and be ready to prep in 20 minutes.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. I mean, I cook by myself, and so does Rich. You know, I mean, if you're cooking by yourself, to do all that other stuff by yourself, I wouldn't do it. You know, cooking by myself, get that set up, get the trailer level. That's about the biggest thing I have to do to make sure that my water smoker is level. And then I'm prepping meat. So that's what I love about it.
No, that's awesome. So hot and fast.
Yep.
So you already said you've got a fire burning at what, 4:30?
Yeah, light the fire at 4:30. I put that 30 pounds of charcoal on the bottom and put that flavor additive on top, otherwise known as lighter fluid. And, you know, I light it up and put some wood to it, and then by 5 o'clock, you know, it's you know, anywhere from 350 to 375, and I'm putting the meat on. You know, the big meats are going on, the brisket and two butts, and you know, they're done usually around anywhere from 8:30 to 9 o'clock. So 3.5 hours, 4 hours.
Wrap or no wrap?
I wrap.
You do wrap.
Yeah. It's about 2.5 hours in, so it's not wrapped for very long. So
right. And so do you find and have you ever cooked low and slow before?
Yes.
Because I've always talked that I think when you cook low and slow, you have a larger window, margin of error, if I call it,
yep,
than if you cook hot and fast. Do you agree with that or not?
I agree because you've got a little more time to think about what you're doing somewhat when you're cooking low and slow, and you're kind of waiting on something to happen. Where for me, I really don't cook on temperature so much. I mean, it's more of a timeline. Like I was saying, two and a half hours in, it's foiled and it's wrapped, it's back on the smoker, and then I'm probing it for feel, you know, at, you know, usually about 8:30 in the morning. And, yeah, if you're cooking low and slow, it's, you know, I mean, you know, Rich cooks on a couple of drums, and there's times where he's just like, man, this thing just isn't coming. It's not, you know, it's just lagging behind as far as where his meats are. I'm like, you know, I don't have that problem. It's done.
And so, okay, so, on the big meats, I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
How the hell, I mean, what are you cooking your chicken in, 35 minutes?
No, it's a kind of a neat thing. It's like the smoker knows what time it is. And, you know, it has to do with, you know, how much wood I'm putting
yeah.
on too. But
yeah.
By 9 o'clock when I'm putting ribs on, it's down to 3, and it sometimes hits 325.
It's all about knowing your cooker.
Yeah, I'm cooking ribs around, you know, 300 usually. You know, 275 to 300 is where I'd like to be, but, you know, it creeps up to 325. I'm not running scared about it. So, I used to put chicken on at 9, but that actually ended up being way too soon. So it's going on closer towards 10. So when the smaller meats, you know, it's not as hot, you know. I'm not cooking
right.
350, 375 on those.
And so, I mean, do you ever get scared if you see your cooker on the big meats moving to 425?
I think I've posted a couple of pictures. Well, I remember one time I posted a picture when it was at 4 or 425, and Johnny Trigg actually said I'd be reaching. I said, that's how I roll, and he said, I think I'd be reaching for a fire extinguisher. So... yeah, it happens. It's funny. It seems like that usually will happen at about 5:45 in the morning sometimes. It'll boom, all of a sudden jump 50 degrees for a second, and, you know, you just got to move the dampener down on the firebox just a little bit. Usually, it's, you know, I can set it in the same spot every time I cook, and it's always going to be at 350, but sometimes it just... I had to bump up and take off. I mean, there's rumors out there that say barometric pressure has something to do with it, but who knows. But for the most part, you know, being insulated with 2 inches worth of insulation, it's holding the heat and it's holding steady. I mean, I can, you know, my main thing is I do have to feed it water and, you know, make sure that if I go and walk off in the morning, I've got a good amount of water in it before I go and walk off.
Well, nothing wrong with that, brother. Well, Mark, we're here in our last couple of minutes. Is there anything you want to plug before we get out of here?
Well, again, big thanks to having the barbecuesuperstore.com on in the pit tonight. We greatly appreciate it. You know, we do want to let all the listeners know, again, if you go to the barbecuesuperstore.com, you'll get a 10% discount now through Sunday on any orders. And, again, those orders will be shipped out on Monday because I am going out of town. But the coupon code is WhiskeyBent, and if you would like to use all caps, that would probably be the best way to do it. But it's all one word, WhiskeyBent, and again, you'll get 10% off your purchases, of which are already great low prices. So, and again, you know, contact us just like we were talking. Definitely be interested in hearing from, you know, people from all over the country on, hey, you know, this is a product, you know, that in the Southeast or the Southwest is really working. And this is something that's working great in, you know, in the Midwest. And this is something that's working good up in Three Eyes country over Northeast.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, those are the types of things that, you know, we'd love to hear from everybody out there. And we're just going to, you know, again, our main focus is the professional cooks out there, but also the professional cooks you know, the guys that are on the forums and things that are, you know, they're not going out and cooking every single weekend. They're just cooking in their backyard. You know, those are our customers too. And we, you know, we want to put out there the best products for them to try.
Absolutely. Mark, thank you so much, brother. We'll talk to you next time.
Chad, thank you so much. Greatly appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, guys, until next week, keep the pit lit.
You there?